Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim in the book of Yehoshua. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. We are in Perek Tes Vav, chapter 15, and yesterday we read this strange story in the middle of Perek Tes Vav. It's sentences 13 to 19. Regarding a place known as Devir or Kiryat Sefer, we had said that Kalev is given Hebron. Kalev says, "I am as strong now as I ever was. He conquers Anakim, he conquers giants. And yet, when it comes to this place called Kiryat Sefer or Devir, suddenly Kalev needs help. And he says, whoever is able to conquer Kiryat Sefer gets to marry my daughter Achsa. And Osniel ben Kenaz, who is Kalev's half-brother, conquers the city, and he gets to marry Achsa, and then Achsa says, this land is too dry, and she persuades her husband to ask her father for water, and then she herself jumps off of the donkey, and she asks her father for water sources. What in the world is going on in this story? How do we understand this? So we said that there are two approaches that you could take to this story. The first approach is that it was a physical conquest. It's exactly what it sounds like. Kalev, in fact, needs assistance. Ah, but wasn't he as strong now as he ever was? And wasn't he able to defeat the Anakim, these giants? So Rabbi Yisrael Rosen quoted a medrash, which we mentioned, you know, he's just doing a quick review. We said that yesterday, that Kalev was actually punished for having said that he was so strong, and Hashem now weakened him. Taking the view that it's a physical conquest means that we disregard the question of the status of Kiryat Sefer, meaning we saw yesterday that Kiryat Sefer slash Devir seems to be a holy city based on the way that it's referenced elsewhere in Tanakh, based on certain factors that we mentioned yesterday, the meaning of the name Devir. So within this read, we completely ignore that. Kiryat Sefer is just like any other city. But now we have to ask, Kalev ben Yefuneh is this great righteous person. He was one of the two spies who did not come back with a bad report and instead tried to lead the Jews in a positive direction. He seems to be a very spiritual, righteous, kadosh person. Why does he promise his daughter to a warrior? And we said, there's this Gemara in Tanis that actually criticizes Shaul for saying, or seeming to say anyway, whoever defeats Goliath is going to get to marry my daughter, but it doesn't mention Kalev. So what's going on? So one answer you could give as to why Kalev is excluded from that Gemara in Tanis is that Gemara in Tanis doesn't give me the full list of people who made such bad deals. And the truth is, Kalev could be on the list. In fact, there is a medrash in Bereishis Rabba, Perek Samach, Medrash Gimel, which does talk about those who made such bad deals, and lists Yiftach, it lists Shaul, and it puts Kalev on the list as well. So the answer is maybe Kalev is on the list. That's a possibility. Rabbi Yisrael Rosen suggests that what Kalev did here was not so bad, because it was really a declaration of emunah. He was saying, I believe that Hashem is going to send the right person to conquer Kiryat Sefer and to marry my daughter. The problem with that is we don't similarly redeem Shaul for his offer of whoever kills Goliath. So why would we offer that specifically for Kalev? The Sfas Emes offers a very interesting idea. The Sfas Emes points out the Gemara in the beginning of Sota, where the Gemara talks about the idea of bashert in a marriage. And the Gemara there says that a person's first marriage is preordained. It's decided already that so-and-so is going to marry so-and-so. And therefore, she, if Achsa ends up marrying whoever it is, it must be preordained by Hashem that she is going to marry him. Now, we don't know that this is Achsa's first marriage. So the Sfas Emes says, the Gemara there says, a second marriage is based on a person's merit. So she'll get somebody who's appropriate for her merit if it's a second marriage. That's the Sfas Emes. Yes, this whole idea of Bashert and marriage being preordained, of who's going to marry whom, is a very important discussion, not for when we're doing a mini shiur on Yehoshua. I'm just mentioning it because the Sfas Emes quotes it to say, essentially, Kalev's not wrong for doing this, because she's going to end up with whoever she's going to end up with. Either it's her first marriage and it's preordained Bashert, or it's her second marriage and it's based on her merit. But if you're going to say that, then once again, Shaul is right for doing what he does with Golias. If you're redeeming Kalev, you're also redeeming Shaul, and Shaul is on the list as somebody who should not have done, should not have made such an offer. So that's also difficult, that's Sfas Emes. So basically, what we have are three answers. The first answer is probably the right answer, which is that Kalev does belong on the list of people who made a deal that was a bad deal alongside Shaul, alongside Yiftach, as per the list in Bereishis Rabbah. These other two answers, Rav Rosen's answer that doing this kind of thing is actually a declaration of Emunah, should redeem the other people on the list. And Sfas Emes' answer, that she was going to marry whoever she was going to marry, should redeem Shaul from that list. So this is, again, taking the view that it's a physical conquest, and it's a real warrior, Othniel ben Kenaz, who comes along and conquers it. According to this view, when Achsa says, hey, we need water, she's actually asking for water. It's literal. She needs resources for the field. And so she asks for bracha. Bracha meaning an increase of good, or bracha like brecha, a source of water. And that's what Radak says here. That's what Abarbanel says here, that she's actually asking for water because the land that she's been given, this Kiryat Sefer land, is very dry. That's the idea. She tells her husband, I want us to make this appeal to my father. Her husband goes along with it, and she's the one who actually makes the appeal to her father. This idea that it's all going on a very material, physical level also fits the fact that the Gemara in Temura Daf Tesvav says that Achsa was of surpassing beauty. The Gemara looks at this odd name Achsa, it's not an usual name for a Jew in Tanakh, and reads it as an anagram of koes or kaasa, anger, and says that that she was of such surpassing beauty that it caused strife in other marriages, because not everybody was of beauty like hers. That's the Gemara in Temura, as explained by Rashi. Okay, that's Temura Tezayin Amud Aleph. Sorry. So that's all one read. However, there's a whole other way to read this, which is, this is not a physical conquest. It's a spiritual conquest. Kalev described his strength and said, I am as strong now as I was back then when we went as the Meraglim. That was about spiritual strength. It was about his greatness in Torah. That's what it was. That was what it was really all about. Kiryat Sefer, this city that he needs help in conquering, according to the Gemara in Temura Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, does not mean some physical place. Rather, it means learning. Kiryat Sefer is talking about the city of the book, so to speak. The Gemara in Temura tells us the following story. Rav Yehuda says, quoting Rav, "B'shoshin ifter Moshe Rabbeinu leGan Eden, when Moshe passed away, Amar lo li Yoshua, he told Yoshua, Sha'al mi meni kol sfekos sheyesh loch, ask me any questions that you have, anything you aren't sure about. Amar lo Rebbe, klum hi nachticha sha'achas v'alati l'makom acher. Yeshua said, did I ever leave you and go somewhere else? I learned everything you had to teach. Lo kach kasaptabi, didn't you write about me in the Torah? Umishar so, Yoshua bin Nun nar loya mishmitocha ohel. You wrote that Yoshua never left the tent. That's me. I never left the tent. Miyad tashash kocho shel Yehoshua. But because Yehoshua said that, his strength was diminished. V'nishtakchu mimenu shlosh meos halachos. He forgot 300 halachos. V'noldu lo shva meos fekos. And he developed 700 areas in which he wasn't sure what the halacha was. V'omdu kol Yisrael lahargo. And the Jews wanted to kill him. Yehoshua, you're supposed to lead us after Moshe. What'd you do? Right? Think of the beginning of our book of Yehoshua, where the people came to him and said, you have to pick up where Moshe left off. Amar Rabbi Avahu, afa pichein hechazira nasniel ben Kenaz mitof pil pulob. Rabbi Avahu says, Asniel ben Kenaz restored these halachas that had been forgotten. He figured it all out via analysis. And he quotes this business of Asniel ben Kenaz conquering Kiryat Sefer. So Kiryat Sefer means the learning that had been forgotten from Moshe's time. That is what he was able to restore. That's the idea. There is no physical conquest going on. It is a spiritual conquest. That's the idea. Which explains now why Kalev offered his daughter. Kalev was not looking for a warrior. Kalev was looking for a husband who would be a serious Talmud Chacham, who would have great insight. That's what he is looking for. And what's the business of this request for water? So the Gemara still in Temura gives us the following. It says, she asked for water. Give me the Adam She'in Bo Ela Torah Bilvad. Give me a husband who only has Torah. And then the text says, Kalev gave her upper sources of water and lower sources of water. Gulos Ilios and Gulos Tachtios. What does that mean? Mishadar Elyonim V'Tachtonim Yevakesh Mimenu Mizonos. That which dwells in the upper and the lower realms, let him seek food from it. That's one read of the Gemara. Or Rabbeinu Gershom's read, he dwells in upper and lower realms, and yet you also want food. That's an interesting read as well. But taking the simple read of the Gemara, Kalev is saying, let him request food from Hashem. As for the beauty that the Gemara in Temura associates with her, Tosfo says that it's actually not talking about physical beauty, but rather it is talking about her spiritual beauty and her righteousness. That's what we are talking about, her beauty, her righteousness that was the envy of everybody else. That's the concept. Final note on this. The Gemara in Temura goes further with this by labeling Othniel as Ya'avetz. Another name for Othniel was Ya'avetz. So Ya'avetz is a scholarly identity. In Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Beis, Pasuk Nun Hei, Divrei Hayamim 1, Chapter 2, Sentence 55, we are told about Mishpacha Sofrim Yoshve Ya'avetz, the families of scribes, of teachers who lived in Ya'avetz. It is a place of scribes, it is a place of teachers of Torah. And then you also have a passage in Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Dalid, Divrei Hayamim 1, Chapter 4, Sentences 9 and 10, in which this fellow Ya'avetz asks Hashem for something. He makes a request from Hashem, and the Gemara in Temura in Daf Tezayin explains also that it is a request from, it is a Torah request from Hashem, a request for knowledge of Torah. And of course, Asniel ben Kenaz becomes a shofet. He becomes the first of our shoftim, so that really can fit either with it being a physical conquest or a spiritual conquest, because the shoftim played both roles. But those are two different ways that we could read the story of Kiryat Sefer and Kalev marrying off his daughter to the person who conquers Kiryat Sefer. There's more to say. I hope that this was somewhat clear. Tomorrow, I want to wrap up maybe one or two more notes from this conquest of Kiryat Sefer and then move on to the cities that go to Shevet Yehuda.